So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What's up, everybody? It's Aaron. I've got a special guest with me right now via cell phone. My grandma. Say hi, grandma.
Hi, Aaron. My grandson.
Yeah, you're basically in my hand on speakerphone with a recorder next to me so that people can hear. So I know it's kind of high-tech future stuff for you, but...
Well, it's high-tech for me, but I'm in high-tech every Friday night listening to you on the TV, and I can't get to it fast enough.
I know. I wish you could use the internet, and I mean, I've tried to show you, but, it's the internet.
When you're old, you don't exactly just get the internet,
How old are you now? 46?
What?
How old are you now?
82.
So I got three old people in my family.
Well, we're old, but you helped us get that way because we had to be alert to have you in the family, grandson.
Why is that?
Well, because I sat for hours telling you ghost stories. Now you're getting all the attention.
Wait, you told me ghost stories as a kid?
Yeah, you sit in the stool while I do dishes or anything I was doing. And I tell you ghost stories. You were always the main character in my makeup stories, but it was fantastic.
I remember riding the bicycle on the back porch.
Oh,
and you'd be like, the whole time it was like NASCAR, like Aaron's coming up to third race, he's about to pass the other guy. And, I was just like, I remember that.
You went through the whole, this is a huge house. You went through the whole house and I sent one room. I couldn't talk at the end of the day because you were this huge, you were about 4 or 5 years old. And you'd take your tricycle and throw it down and fix the tire. And I'd say, well, there he goes again. He's a head cheese at the NASCAR race. There he is, Aaron Goodwin.
My grandson,
I am watching him and he just did another loop. The car turned clear around backwards. But he fixed it.
That's awesome. I remember it. So what do you think? So jump from then to now. What do you think about what I'm doing now?
Well, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed because, here you are. I mean, I can't go anywhere and say your name that people, the lady that does my hair. She says, have you talked to Aaron? And here, it makes me kind of mad because she still charges me, but, she's getting all the goodies. Could you get me another talent? Is there anything? Then the other gal starts in. My brother and all of his family, Aaron's your favorite. Would there be anything? And I'll take him, I just throw him a little cookie once in a while just to keep him happy.
So what you're saying is you need more swag.
Well, I never knew I had this thing. I used to go there was a lot of movies when I was younger that were done here in Eugene, Oregon, and Richard Widmark and all those guys that were so famous, and I was a movie star, hung up on all of that, and then here I am now, 82, and my grandson. You're coming to me. Do you think you could get an autograph for me? I'll fly to wherever they are.
That's awesome. Okay, so what you're saying is you need more.
Okay.
What do you think about me hunting all the ghosts and what I do now?
Well, it scares me to death. I hate it when you go down the basement of all these places. I mean, scares me to death.
Yeah, because I was talking to Mom and all that, and I was telling her how, back in the day, I really never even thought about it, and stuff like that, and then she said I had an imaginary friend, and remember I kicked in the face by a horse, so it's kind of like, the last podcast I did with it kind of led into some weird thoughts about that, but it's weird. Do you ever remember stories with me and talking to an imaginary friend?
You had them. You almost had me believing it.
And what about now?
Well, now is I don't know how to take these films every week because I am a wreck, and I know that it was already done and you're okay, but I get out of that mode and into the fact that's happening right now. And I don't like a lot of the stuff that, I mean, I'm ready to kill a few of those ghosts. And yet I know they're already dead, but,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, it's scary. I'm not gonna lie, but
you don't know.
I always call you guys like when I get there and when I take off, and so you guys are always the first ones to know anything.
I know, and don't think we don't appreciate that, because then I'll say I wonder if Debbie hurt, and then I call her, and then we get a big subject about. In fact, I had a bunch of things written down that are really funny that you used to do, and I can't find a sheet of paper, but.
Well, we'll just do that on podcast, too. We'll do that. When you find it, we'll do another one.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, hey, and I got a confession. You know when I'm always like, oh, no, it was a fun lockdown. Nothing much happened. And then, like, you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then, like, then you see the episode later on and all hell breaks loose. Like.
Yeah. You say, oh, it was boring. Well, I'm sitting there waiting for boring.
I don't ever say boring. I just say it's like, oh, it was chill. That way, like, you're not so worried.
Well, the thing, yeah, you try to make it sound. That's another thing. That's their ego. You try to make things sound like, well, it wasn't that scary. And, yeah, well, it wasn't that bad. And so I think, well, this is going to be okay because Aaron said it wasn't going to be that bad. Well, then I'm on the edge of my bed or where I'm watching it from, seat watching. And I'm scared to death. And I think, what does he think's bad?
I always wonder that.
I'm 82 years old. Well, and I'm seeing my son in these horrible places.
If you've noticed lately, like, well, one, it's really late at night or something, or I'm pretty busy lately, but it's like I don't call you right after the episode.
Yeah, I know.
Because I know you're going to be like, hang on, Aaron. You said it was chill, and now I'm looking at this, and your camera's flying across the room. You know, like, all kinds of craziness. It's funny.
Well, it doesn't matter what time you call, because after. I don't sleep on Ghost Adventure night because I can't this. But then I'm awake all night worrying about. And then I have to the adrenaline goes sky high on me.
Right. And you know, and that's weird because, like, there have been many times, like, I'll have something going on with me at home and you'll know it and you'll call me. So that I think there is some sort of weird connection, because like back in the day, like you used to be the one who always picked me up from school. You and I used to go to the comic book shop and baseball card shop, and we'd just
hours
buying basketball cards and comics, and then we'd go eat afterwards. I mean, like after school, instead of going out with my friends, I did a few times, but I'd do sports, so you'd come pick me up after sports because Dad was working
I'd
it, and Mom had Amy.
Basketball. Every day I picked you up after basketball, and we went to the card shop, and I remember the guy standing there for hours, and you had every card. Your whole trunk was full of boxes of cards.
And I was always the guy who like had a feeling about a pack, and I'm like, okay, let me ask you this, Grandma. Remember all those times I'd be like, when I was a kid, and I'd say stuff like, I could like almost not all the time, but every once in a while I'd be like, oh, this is gonna happen, and it would happen, like. I'd pick the right packs, or like there'd be a cop, or slow down, or something weird, right?
Yeah, you was like you were, what's the word for already you knew it ahead of time? Psychic.
Maybe not psychic, but in tune with something, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it's like the whatever's around me. For some reason, I feel that like when I get kicked in the face by a horse, because after talking to you guys so much about it, kicked in the face by a horse. And then I had an imaginary friend, and like, I seem to wonder if like that imaginary friend wasn't always just kicking around me like a guardian angel of some sort, you know, who knows, you know, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was weird. I just started thinking about that.
Yeah. And I'd pick you up I'd tear from Portland 300 and some, but it took 3.5 hours, and I would drive over the speed limit, obviously. And, cause I always did that, but which was horrible.
Wait, let's just pause. Let's talk about your driving.
What?
Let's talk about your driving real quick.
Well, you were terrible. You know,
that's where I learned most of my cuss words.
I was terrible, and you taped me. Josh, you guys taped me saying, because I got so mad at these cars, and we were on the freeway going from Lloyd Center or whatever place we were at that day, and coming back, and no matter where we were, and I was always mad at the other cars, which I shouldn't have been in front of you, but I did. Say things I shouldn't have. And I'm a Christian. I'm asking forgiveness every day for all the things I said, but I was really, I'm not a good with other drivers. I don't think they know what I know. Or at least that's the way I was. I'm still that way, and I shouldn't be driving at 82 with that attitude problem.
You're probably the coolest grandma on the road.
Well, I don't flip anybody off or anything, because I can't see that good. But I don't want to give the wrong sign and get killed. But, I mean, that's what. And then you'd say, "Well, go faster." Well, Josh has to get home. So I go tearing around. Remember, we lived on that big hill, that big beautiful house. Drive up there, and you both were really snippy to me to get me to be mad, I guess. And then here you turned out. First started out with this. Stuff with the, you were doing a movie on when you were 14 or 15, and you didn't edit it. Then why didn't you edit out all the stuff I said on those tapes?
Because that's why we're filming it, so that we could actually capture that to prove. Because you would always say, "I do not cuss when I drive." And like,
I know it.
So that's why we did it. That's why we recorded it, to prove it, and you still denied it.
Well, I know, but I didn't know you were taping me.
Well, because you always denied it. We had to tell you, like, it was so funny, because, like, it was just fun. I don't know. What else is there? We always have so much cool shit to talk about. Now I can't think of anything.
I know. And every time I go over, I have to stay so long, because we did things together, and which was good, because it wasn't so much fun otherwise. You know,
we were just like homies kind of thing. We just chilled and hung out all the time.
Yeah, and that's what I did every day. I mean, I moved to Gresham from Eugene to pick you up every day at basketball practice. That went on for a year or two.
Yeah. And then before that, I mean, we'd even hang out. I'd go swimming. We'd get chicken nuggets every day.
Yeah. I mean, it was just fantastic. That's what I remember. Here I am, this age, and what do you remember? Picking your grandson up at school, high school, and taking him to the card shop. And remember, we'd even go down to that other card shop and get Wheaties that had Clyde Drexler on the front.
Right, oh yeah. I was big into Portland. We were from Portland, Oregon, so... Yeah. The Blazers was our thing. Even games, you guys would all watch the games, and I'd come over sometime.
Yeah.
And then now there's that, and then now, all the way to now, hunting ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, there was always something from the day you were born about you. So it was like you were almost hooked on to my life, you know. No matter whether you were with me or without me, it was a constant thing, because you're pretty sharp. You knew how to you were old for your age, and it was just fun to do things that were, you know, because I was old then. So, but we sure, I don't know how I would have got through all those years without you, because you kind of give up your own kids, get married and have kids, like that's what happened. You came along, and that took, I didn't ever like the emptiness thing, and you came along and fulfilled that part of my life.
Yep.
And now it's still the biggest part of my life, you know.
And now, instead of hanging out, you just get to watch me on TV.
Yeah, now I watch you get almost killed by some darn ghost. And, you know, I'm ready to, how do you kill a ghost, you know?
I'm always afraid that you're going to try to find me, too, like, on these lockdowns. Like, if you pass or something, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to go see how Aaron's doing. And all of a sudden, like, you show up at a lockdown. Don't do that.
Yeah, you realize that could be in the near future. I'm old. And I know I'm going to come back and follow you around.
Well, if you do, then just do it when I'm not at a lockdown. Because you never know. Sometimes my theory is you show up in that lockdown and all of a sudden those ghosts sniff you out. But you're a pretty tough cookie, so you'll probably whoop their ass.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, damn it.
Okay. I'm small, but I'm strong.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you look like the way you look, but your aura is something else. So I believe when you pass on... Like you're like me. I look like this, but my aura and who I am, like inside, like it looks like someone totally different. So I believe when you pass, you'll probably be like, "Holy crap, I'm 35 or 30 again," and then all of a sudden you'll look totally different. And then you'll be like, "Come and say hi to me." And then what's going to happen is the only way I'll know is because I know certain things about you. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I'll be able to sense it or something. So
yeah,
and so like
the biggest part of our lives,
right? And then it's lucky because, like, most people are like, oh, you know, you get to be old or, you know, you pass on when you pass on. And as soon as you pass on, there's really no more pain because, like, I don't know how many times you and Grandpa even told me, like, after you get a certain age, it just becomes painful. You know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah.
You don't
and so,
have anything to look, you know, like, you give everything up that was so vital in your life.
Right, and so it's like a little different. So, like, I always think, well, if you pass young, sometimes that's lucky, but for some reason you're chosen to stay longer and all this blah, blah, blah. But, like, for example with you, like, you know, like, I know this for a fact that you're didn't pass on at any point in time because, you know, I'm doing this, you need to see this stuff, you need to watch it, because it's a big part of, like, watching me grow up, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's a good thing.
A spirit thing too. I won't die. My spirit will just keep on going, and it'll follow you around.
Sweet, just help me out. Like when I'm in Vegas and walking past the casino, and just tap my shoulder, and I'll know to play that machine. People are probably sitting here listening to us talk about this, going like, "Oh my God, you're totally talking about when your grandma's gonna die." But see, it's cool because, like, we've already, like, had our, like, goodbye, and, like, we kind of just, like,
well, we're, like, yeah, quite a few years ago. I mean,
and so now it's, like, if it goes, if it happens, it happens, and we both are cool about it, you know, and
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because it's going to happen. Everybody, that's one thing you can count on. You know, they say, that's a saying, and everybody says, you're born, you live, and then you die.
I always say you're born to die.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, that's a very good thing because exactly what it is.
Right.
We're born to die.
Right, and at whatever age you die, that's the age. It doesn't matter because you're born to die. And I believe that, like, if you go young, like real young or real old, it's just that's when you're chosen. You know, you either get to, like, because some people mourn because some people die at the age, a young age or a third. I believe a young age sucks because you can't experience life, but. But once you hit, like, past 30, Egyptians and all those people, they didn't live past 30, you know? We're lucky enough to live past 30. And so
right.
It's like, so I look at every day as, like, that's cool. But whenever something wants to take you, when it's time, there's only pain for a moment. But I've met probably 3 people who have died and said they come back to life. And 2 people I really trust. And so it's like they all said there's no pain and it's just an amazing feeling. It's instant. And then they just talk about this amazing beauty, the light, the feeling, the places they go. And then as soon as they came back to their body, it was back to pain again and suffering.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, so sometimes when people like mourn it, they should really be happy because technically they're not living in a painful body, a stressful body. They're living in a whole different realm. They're living in an aura now.
The spirit world then is not a body world.
Right. So then, like, so it's like, I don't know. So my theory is if someone passes, that's a good thing because now they're finally not in this world where there's pain anymore. You know what I mean? Like, especially
right.
when you get
and
past a certain age and all that
yeah,
stuff.
It has to be that way. And that's the way God meant it. And that's the way that when I go out, I'll have a guardian angel with me. I already know what she looks like. And, you know, I'm not going to pass out and go to a horrible situation. I'm going to pass out and be free of everything that bothered me in my lifetime.
Actually, you'll probably when you pass on, all of a sudden you'll be like, the energy that cusses on the freeway is going to be out, and you'll be like, ha, 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 ha. Then real Ghostbusters is going to start, you know? Like.
Yeah, probably. I'll go before Jesus, he'll say, well, why did you get so mad? This is one thing, you know, I'll probably get chewed out a little bit.
Well, you know, and then he'll say, because you always did say you have Jesus in the palm of your hand. And so
yeah.
He probably is going to be like, was I in the palm of your hand?
I knew I was in his hand, but I pretend like he's in mine, too, because I can't live otherwise.
Dude, I swear to God, I see this right now. You're at the gate. Jesus is like, I don't know. He's like 50-50 on it. And then God like kind of walks up and goes, let's let her in. And then you're kind of like the mafia of heaven.
Yeah. She'll bug you till she gets in. So just get her in quick. While the gate's open.
Then the title of it, then it's still frame, and it's in a comic book or something. It's like, heaven always has a couple of them. Then it will recycle itself because you'll be a beautiful angel, and then you'll get so mad, and something will happen. You'll be a fallen angel, and then we'll start the whole world over again.
Yeah, start all over. I hope that card shop's still there.
So I think I just called you the devil.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, this is good to have this talk because who knows what's going to happen. You know, tomorrow.
Well, supposedly 2012 is coming, so who knows what's going to happen then, right?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, don't really see that happening. But
I can see tomorrow not happening the way the world's going, but
whatever. That's the thing. In a weird way, everyone freaks out about the end of times and it just being over or whatever, like if this is true. And if it is true and it's like that, that's a great way to go because there's no pain, no suffering, instant. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
At least, you know.
My grandsons and goes to Ginger's, and now I'll tell you this. I don't think they're really going to let me run the show up there, but they know I'll try, so they are preparing. Got to have preparation for some old lady, you know.
They're already ready. That's why they're holding off for so long. Like, let's just wait till she's 90. She's going to give us problems. Let's give her problems first.
Yeah, we're going to keep her down there as long as I told him. I tell him every day I'm ready to go, you know.
And then instead he gives you a neck problem.
Yeah, a head problem. My whole head's going, now I know why they're talking to you today. I'm having all these head problems. They probably started back when you were in NASCAR era. You've been in so many different eras.
NASCAR, then UFC. Well, production, NASCAR, or movies, production, NASCAR, UFC, now Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
When I'm 50, I'll be like, he's up in the moon shooting, you know? Like, that would be awesome, actually. I don't even know why I said that, but that'd be sick. I want to be the first cameraman on the moon. That'd be sick. Like, real camera. Like, if there's ever a TV show on the moon, I want to be the first camera guy to shoot that TV. Or movie, I want to be the first guy. Because astronauts are shooting it already.
Yeah, I know.
Commercial, that'd be sick.
I listened to George Norrie. Of course, I watched Coast to Coast, but you better get you on or I'll have to quit listening.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I did the Day from Darkness radio event at Eastern State Penitentiary in July there, and George Norrie was there, and I got to talk to him, hang out with him. 30-odd minutes. It's the show that Jeff Billinger does, and we were all on it. I got to get a copy of that and send it to you. I keep forgetting. But the cool part was is Dave was like, yeah, man, as soon as I told Aaron, he was telling us George Norrie, he goes, as soon as I told Aaron that you were coming, he like was all freaking out because I love George Norrie too and Coast to Coast. And I was like, oh. And then he goes, Dave Schrader goes, yeah, he had to hang up the phone and call his grandma real quick and then call me back. It was funny. And then George Norrie's just like, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's such a family. He's a
right. And then the worst part is I'm recording this thing and I ran out of tape because I didn't put a new memory chip in it, so I only recorded a few minutes of it, and like that was like one of those moments you want to record in time and it's set up but you mess something up and then all of a sudden it's not there, and like I'm so bummed. And, like,
that's
if there's any listeners out there that was at this event and has that whole conversation with George Norrie or clips of it and like of him up talking in front of everybody, there's only a few of us were there, you know, like put on the web so I can show my grandma because she'll be freaking out over this. But I'll give you that copy for sure of the 30 odd minutes.
Yeah, about 2 weeks later, on one of the night shows, I don't know who he had on as a guest, but they were talking. Evidently, the one, I fell asleep when I woke up. They'd been talking about ghosts because this guy, they had open lines, and this guy called in from Texas. And he says his name, and he's from Texas, and they don't give him a long time to talk because George and I see a lot of people on this open line.
Right.
Yeah, and he says, well, he's somebody been following him or something. I guess is what they're talking about. Somebody following him. He's something been happened to this guy from Texas, and he called to tell George Norrie. He says, I wanted to go to that deal in Philadelphia, to your event in Philadelphia, and I was going to fly there because I wanted to talk to Aaron Goodwin. Well, that blew my mind.
That's awesome, just being mentioned on Coast to Coast.
Some guy from Texas call and tell George Norrie, and he says, yeah, he said, well, I was there, and he said, yeah, I know, but he said, I wanted to talk to Aaron Goodwin. God, I got on the plane, and oh, I was ready to call everybody I knew, but I couldn't, and gosh, George Norrie said, the open lines, and a guy from Texas calls.
That's awesome.
That was something else.
That's awesome.
I mean, that just shows where things go.
Yeah, man, it's getting big. It's getting big.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, Grandma, I have to let you go because
I
pretty much. What's that?
What?
I gotta go because I gotta pack. I'm leaving tomorrow for Texas for next ghost hunt, and Eric's gotta come over, and we gotta get all this like big stepping packages
ready
to
ship. You're
really
going tomorrow to Texas?
Yeah, I still gotta pack. Not only that, but I got a friend's birthday party I have to run to real quick. And it's like,
pack,
get all the big step and stuff. I kind of slacked and was busy this week, and so now I got to shove it all into 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
You're going to start leaving on the plane tomorrow to go to Texas?
Yeah, I go to Texas. Then after that, I'm flying straight from Texas. Then I'm going to L.A., California, because, you know, Steed?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's him and his buddy Al. They're gonna be playing at the Whiskey on Hollywood Boulevard, and then I have 3 days in Vegas, and then I have to go to Kentucky for Scarefest, and then after that I go to another lockdown. So I'm pretty much on the road.
Texas, to California,
to Vegas,
to
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
And then I'm not sure where we're going after that. So
you just went to Kentucky.
Yep. Wait, where? I think I've been in 6 states. This will be like, at the end of the month, I'll be in 6 states this month.
This, I know, you're all the time.
I've been averaging 4 to 5 states a month. counting Vegas. I've been averaging being in 4 to 5 states a month, counting Vegas.
Oh my God.
That's awesome. Kidding me? That's great.
Oh, it is, but Well, that shows what I'll be doing for the next 5 weeks.
Watching Ghost Adventures every new episodes every Friday night.
Yeah, and watching that. Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Hey, we're still doing the podcast.
But
I'm just sitting here telling you my schedule. I'm realizing, oh yeah, we're still doing the podcast.
Oh no!
No, it's great. So that's my schedule, everybody, for this next week. But well, I love you, Grandma, and thank you for hanging out. Don't hang up. I would say hey bye, but don't hang up because I'm gonna push stop on the recorder. But for the podcast, thanks for being on here and talking with everybody. And find that stuff, and we'll do some more stuff and think of some cool stuff, and we'll do another podcast here real soon.
Yeah, because I know a lot about you. I could say
pretty much.
I've already said plenty, but I mean, there's a lot more.
Yeah. So we'll do another one here. Maybe when I'm in Texas, I'll call you from the hotel and we'll do one, or I'll do it next week at some point when I get home.
Yeah, this next week I'll probably be out of it because I have to go for those things, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, okay, don't hang up, Grandma, this is the end of the podcast, so thank you guys for listening on me and my grandma talk about things and then just mumble.
Gee, I didn't know we were still.
But that's good. That's raw, right? That's a good point.
That's okay.
People got to see, yeah, and people got to see my schedule, I guess. Thanks a lot.
What persons really like is when they don't know they're being taped. That's been your theory with me forever.
All right, I love you, Grandma. Don't hang up, but I'll talk to you later. Thanks, guys, for being on the podcast, and I'll catch you on the next one.
Okay.